God demands perfection. From everybody that is ever born, God demands perfection, and we've blown it. So from the beginning of time, the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit had a plan that the perfection that we couldn't accomplish would be accomplished in the second person of the Trinity, in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ came into this world as 100% human and 100% God. And as he lived, the Bible says he was tempted in all ways like us, and he never sinned. So he lived a perfect life. And what God has given us the promise of is that if we have the desire and our ability to exchange our imperfect life with Christ's perfect life, because God gives us that through grace, if we have the desire and ability to do that, God will give us Christ's perfect life. He will impute that on us. But man, you know what it says? It says in 1 Corinthians that the world says, that's whacked. That doesn't make sense. Man, no, that's foolishness. The only ones that have the ability to believe that God can give us as imperfect people Christ's perfect life in exchange for our imperfect life, the only ones who have the ability to believe that are those who are saved, those who he gives the desire and ability to. How many of you have ever made the exchange? How many of you came to the point where you realized God demanded perfection and you didn't have it? And you're lost. And then you realize through faith, through grace, that God gave you the desire and ability to believe that he wanted to give you Christ's perfect life. And you made the exchange with him. How many of you have made that exchange? Can I see your hands? Yeah. So for you, it's not crazy, is it? For you, it's not crazy. For most of the people in the world, he said it's foolishness to them until God gives you that ability to believe that. And that is the gospel. We're imperfect and can never be perfect, but God demands perfection, so he had to send us somebody perfect to exchange our life, and that's the deal God wants to make. So if you don't hear anything else today, I want you to hear that if you have never made that exchange, that God wants your imperfect life. You may be saying, oh man, nobody wants my life. My life's so messed up, you don't even understand what goes on in my head. Man, you don't understand how I feel. Man, God wants your imperfect life. He wants you to give that to him, and in exchange, he will give you the perfection of Christ. Amen? So that brings us then to what, you've got these cards, everybody has these cards? So this is how you can remember this, that if you are saved, if you are saved, if you're born again, if you are saved, man, I ask people often, what are you saved from? They're like, well, I'm saved from sin, or I'm saved from hell, I'm saved. No, here's what you are saved from if you are saved. You're saved from God. You're saved from God. Because again, what God has to do is he has to punish sin. How many of you ever sinned? Yeah. And Christ took your whooping. We'll get to that in a minute. But the fact is that we've sinned, and God has to punish sin for justice. He's a perfect God. And so what happened is Christ on the cross. Y'all remember what happened at noon when he was on the cross on Friday? What happened, man? What happened to the sun? Got dark. Everything got dark. And it was during that time that we're told in Scripture that what God did is it pleasured him to punish his son. It was all part of his plan. He punished his son for our sin. And so during that time, if you're born again, if you ever get born again, if you're a believer, if you're saved, what happened was Christ took your whooping. He took the punishment for every sin that you ever committed, are committing, and will commit. And so he took that punishment. He took the wrath that you deserve for it. And man, what a blessing it is. How many of you grateful that he took your whooping? Yeah. So you were saved from God. God had to save you from himself. By the way, here comes some sun. You look at it a little bit. It's not that cool yet, but it will be. All right, y'all just keep kind of looking around. So we were saved from God. I want you to understand that. You know, you're saved from God's wrath because of what Christ did. And if you have the ability to believe that, it's because God gave you the ability to believe that. But we're not only saved from God, we were saved by God. It was His plan in the very beginning, knowing that we would be imperfect. You're saying, well, why didn't God just make us perfect? Why didn't He just make us so we would never make a wrong decision? We'd never mess up. I don't know. Any of you ever wonder that? Well, in fact, I'm looking forward to heaven where I'll never be able to get in trouble again. Amen. But, you know, the only way we can show God we love Him is by choosing Him. He gives us choices, and the only way we can choose Him is if He gives us choices. So every moment you've got a choice to do what God wants you to do or what you want to do. To do what God wants you to do or what you want to do. And when we choose Him, that's the only way we can show we love Him. And so He's given human the ability to choose. And He knew we would choose wrong. He knew we'd blow perfection. That's why He promised the Messiah. Because the Messiah would live a perfect life and then give us His perfect life in exchange for our imperfect life. So we were saved from God by God. It's all part of God's plan. How many of y'all say, that just sounds weird? Anybody, raise your hand. Come on, man. Somebody's got to be here saying, dude, this sounds whacked, man. You know, this is just weird. Well, I'm going to tell you, it is. Only God could create this. And this is what the gospel is. This is what God has shown us in His word is the truth. We needed perfection and we blew it, so Christ had to become our perfection. And He wants our messed up life. In exchange, He will give us His perfect life. And so we are saved from God, by God, but we are saved for God. So the reason He didn't take you to heaven when you died was because He had something for you to do. Right, Kathy? Man, He's got something for you to do. Every moment of every day is a divine appointment. There's no accidents, man. Every moment, every encounter, one day you're going to stand before God and you say, man, what'd you do? Selma, what did you do when you met that person? And you're going to be like, oh, and He's like, yeah, I know you missed that one. But what about this one? You got this one. What did you do? And when we give Him our explanation of what we did through His resurrection power, what do we want to hear Him say in return? What do we want to hear? Well done, good and faithful servant, because we've chosen to do what He wants us to do in that. So we have been saved from God, by God, for God. Help me out with that, all right? We've been saved from God. Hey, how about this? Say, I was saved from God. Dude, God wanted to kick your tail. God was angry at sin. He's going to throw wrath down at some point in time. We don't know when that's going to happen, and we'll hit this with the scripture we're going to look at. But the fact is that God is a just God, and we blew perfection, man. So I needed to be saved from God. One more time, I was saved from God, but I was saved by God. Help me out with that. I was saved, and then I was saved for God. Y'all got that? I was saved from God, by God, for God. And that's your story right here. And one day you'll live in perfection with Him. So check out the back of your card, and it's 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 through 11. Little context on this verse right here. So the Thessalonians, when you read 1 Thessalonians, you'll find out that Paul got to spend some time with them when they first started as a church, and they had some questions. They were like, wait a minute, when is the rapture again? And you know what's interesting is probably many of you here don't believe a rapture, all right? But go read 1 Thessalonians. He says, they're asking, when our people die, our believers, our family who are believers die, do they miss the rapture? And number two, if they miss the rapture, then are we in the day of the Lord? Are we now in the tribulation period, the day where God is now going to throw all His wrath down? Those were their two big questions. Go read 1 Thessalonians, you'll see. Chapter 4, Paul answers about the rapture. He said, yeah, dude, you're not going to miss it. If you're supposed to be part of it, you're not going to miss it. It's there. Chapter 5, he starts out and he says, concerning the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is the day that God is no longer in this period of grace, this time where You're going to be clapped for if you go get baptized after this service, a time where people are going to welcome you into a church. It's a time where the church is gone. We don't see the church again, but it's a time now where it's called the Great Tribulation Period, a time that Christ said would be the worst time this earth ever experienced. And it's a time where God throws his wrath down on sinful man because they would not repent. That's what it's for, and there will be a seven-year period of this. And you want more questions about it? I'd love to sit down and have lunch. I'd love to go paddleboard with you and go talk to you about all this. But it's right there in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. He says, now, for you guys, you don't have to worry about that day of wrath. You guys, if you're in the rapture, you're gone. And you won't be here for that period. But he goes on in there and he says, you don't need to know any more about this. He said, there's children of light and there's children of darkness. And you can tell who's who by how they behave, by how they treat people, by their relationship with Christ. He said, there's children of light and children of darkness. Go read 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and you'll see that. And he says, so you guys are children of light. So you don't have to worry about the day of the Lord because you're not going to be here. You don't have to worry about the day of wrath because, again, as I've shared with you, you don't have to pay for the wrath for your sins. You don't have to take that wrath because Christ took it for you. You're a believer and he took it for you on the cross. And he said, so don't even worry about that. He said, you know, then we get into the verse we're looking at in verse 9. He said, for God has not destined us. Who's us? Children of the light or children of the dark? Children of the light who see life from God's perspective. Children of the light who don't believe that this exchange is foolishness. But instead, they have the grace of God that gave them faith to believe that what God said is true. That you needed to give away your imperfect life to receive Christ's perfect life. His perfect righteousness on you. That's the us. So we who have done that, we do not have to worry. We're not destined for wrath. We're destined for heaven. Yeah, amen. We're not destined for wrath. God's already paid the wrath for us through Christ. So we were saved from God. God has not destined us for wrath. But look at this, to obtain a salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. So at Christ, who is 100% God, came to be a 100% man so he could be our substitute. Hey, Chris, if God wanted to save the barracudas, and he wanted to use you to save the barracudas, what would you have to become to be a substitute? A barracuda, right? You know, he saved humans, so Christ came and became a human to be our substitute. So God's not destined us for a wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us. That's, amen? That's what it's about. He died and he rose again so he could live in us. And those who are children of the light have him living inside them, and we will not suffer the wrath that the world will go through. Amen? So he goes on, he says, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake, that means living when this rapture comes, or, you know, alive right now, he says, or asleep, that means we have passed away, our souls are in heaven. So whether we are alive living here or we are asleep, we might live with him. The only way we can live with him is because of the resurrection that we're celebrating today. So, man, he said, whether your people are dead and they're, and by the way, he says in 1 Thessalonians 4 that the dead in Christ will rise first. Their bodies will be reunited. Go read it. It's pretty cool stuff. I didn't write it. God did. And he said, that's what's going to happen in this. And he said, so whether you're dead and you're going to have to be reunited with your body or you're still alive when it all goes down, he said, that's because of Christ. Because he died for us. He rose for us. He said, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. So we encourage each other. How do we encourage each other? Because if you're saved, you're saved from God. And if you're saved from God, there's nobody else. If God's for us, what? Who can be against us? It doesn't even matter. What's the worst they can do? What's the worst they can do? They can kill us. Big deal. To be absent from the body is to be present with who? The Lord. I'll guarantee you there's nobody that takes their last breath here and says, wow, I wish I could come back. Dude, when you get to heaven, you're probably going to say, man, if I knew it was this good, why didn't I get here sooner? And God's going to say, well, if you didn't keep going to the doctor, you could have. No, I'm just joking. But seriously, man, we're supposed to encourage each other with the fact that this is not our home. Our home is in heaven. And we're here for a short period of time because God took our wrath. We were doomed to be punished by him, but he gave you the desire and ability to surrender everything you knew about yourself to everything you knew about him at some point in time. He gave you that ability to have Christ give you Christ's perfect life in exchange for your wretched life. That's the exchange that had to be made. And if that exchange has been made, it's been made forever. And you're forever saved, and your forever home is heaven. Amen? So in a minute, you take a look at, get a sunrise, man. Some of y'all are, some of y'all are really tech savvy. I'm seeing you guys doing the, you're doing the whole like selfie mode. Oh, I know what y'all are doing during church, man. So in a moment, we're going to have a prayer and we're going to close. The band's going to play. I'm going to be down by the beach. If you are born again, if you have made that exchange with Christ, if maybe you made that exchange with Christ today and said, man, I didn't realize God demanded perfection and I don't have it. And Christ, I want that perfection. You've given me the desire to believe this. And you've made that exchange today, or you made it 100 years ago. I'll be down there if you want to get baptized. Baptism doesn't save you, but what it does do is it tells everybody else that you're saved. When I take you into the water, it looks like a cross. And when I take you down, it represents Jesus' death and burial. And how many of you are glad that he rose from the dead? Yeah, because then I get to bring you back up. Baptism is not a one-hit wonder. I get to take you down, and it represents you dying to your old life, saying, I don't want to be the boss anymore. I give it to him as best I can, but I'm rising to live a new life for him in his resurrection power. So if you have that desire, even if you're just wearing white and you're like, oh, that won't be good, we'll have a towel for you, man. It'll all be good. But if God's calling you to get baptized today, man, I want to encourage you to walk down there and do that. It's out of obedience. And don't let anyone talk you out of it, especially the devil. But the main thing is, make sure that you have made that exchange. Again, how many of you are perfect? Don't raise your hand, George. I got proof from your wife that you're not perfect, all right? But close, but we're not perfect. God demands perfection. We can't provide it. Christ provided it for us if we will make that exchange. Can you believe he wants you? The real you, not the one. How many of y'all ever have a bad picture? You ever take a bad picture? And you're like, oh, no, that's what you look like when you're not posing. Seriously. You know how to hold your, you know, and what angle, and yeah, we have this view of ourselves. I'm okay. I'm better than this. No, you've blown perfection, and you need Christ's perfection. And if you've never made that exchange, maybe God brought you here today to make that exchange. And if you have the desire to make that exchange, understand that desire is from him. He told Nicodemus, it's like the wind. You don't know when it's coming, and you don't know when it's leaving, but you know when it's there. So if you have the desire to make that exchange, your imperfection for his perfection, man, go for it. Is there anybody here, out of all these people, that would say, I made the exchange, and I wish I never did. It was the worst thing I ever did. Don't do it! Is there anybody here that wishes they hadn't? How many of y'all wish you had done it sooner? Amen. So if God's calling you to make that exchange, make it today. That's his spirit speaking to you. And for the rest of us who've already made that exchange, man, I want to encourage you to live for him. Realize you were saved from him, by him, but the reason he's got you here is for him. He's got big plans for you, man. And he wants to use you in a mighty way. Let's pray. Father, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus because that's the only way I can even come to you. I have no sacrifice to offer that's worthy enough, but I have the sacrifice that Christ offered on the cross. And that's the only thing that makes me worthy. That makes me valuable. You paid more for me than anyone paid for anything. And that's true for all of us. So please don't let the world ascribe value to us when we are that valuable to you, Father. Father, I pray that we would think about the fact that we were saved from you, but by you. You loved us so much that you'd rather die than live without us. And because of the resurrection power, we can live for you. Every single encounter is a divine encounter. Everything that comes into our life is by your design to make us more like you. And when we are more like you, you get the glory. So, Father, I pray that you would take this message and you'd make it work in each of our hearts in the ways in which you want it to work in our hearts. I'm just a messenger, and this is what you wanted me to share. Now, Father, I pray again your Holy Spirit would just take it and move in our lives in the way it needs to move. And I pray for all these things in Jesus' name, and all of God's people at Driftwood threw up a shaka and said,
yeah.
All right.